maybe they were unable to fix the clock.
So someone should remind me when it's time to finish the shiur. I used to have a student who had an alarm clock. Okay. We learned the Gemara on the payment base, where the Gemara says that the beds should be tzof and dorim as opposed to mizrach ma'aruf. So Rashi and Tosfos learn that it's talking about married people who are together. So the Gemara quotes Pesukim about having babies. So someone showed me this morning that the Shulchan Aruch recommends that even single people should be machmir for the Rambam's opinion, that it's not restricted only to married people. Okay? So all those who are single should keep in mind. Okay, we left off on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara quoted quite a few brises, one after the other, different brises from Abba Binyamin. Apparently he was a Tana. So the Gemara quotes a brisa, Ein Tfilos Shlod Nishmas Ela Bebeis HaKnesses. She always daven in Shul, and then it says in Shulchan Aruch, even if you're davening B'Yechidus, unless you're the rabbi, you make a Chil Hashem. So Rabbi Kevegra on the side tells you to look in the Tosfos and another Mesichta, where Tosfos seems to have a different Girsa, Ein Tfilos Shlod Nishmas Ela Betzibur. The Gemara is talking about the significance of Tfila Betzibur. They're both accepted. We mentioned yesterday, I think, that the Yerushalmi has such a comment. Dirush Hashem behimotzo means bebeis haknesses. The Ned Behuda such quotes that Yerushalmi. So even if it's not a Babli over here, it's a Yerushalmi. The Babli says Dirush Hashem behimotzo means at that season of the year that he's more readily available, namely on Aseres Mei Tshuvin. And the Yerushalmi says behimotzo means in the location where he's more easily available, the Hainu and the Beis haknesses. So one should always try to daven b'tzibur, one should always try to daven the Beis HaKnesses. And they say for Emek Brocha, by Rabbi Aryeh Lei Pomeranchik, the Talmud of Rabbi Elbel HaSoloveitchik, so he shows from Gemara that there isn't really a chiyuv to daven tefila b'tzibur, just the whole purpose of the davening is that you want a Kodesh Baruch Hu to answer your prayers. And the Gemara says in Perek Yehilu Nemarim, in the end of Soita, that a person stands a better chance of having his prayers accepted if he damens tefillah b'tzibur than if he damens tefillah b'yochid. So the Gemara talks about how much time you have to lose, how much, we're going to get to it later in the Masechta, how much time do you have to spend in order to daven tefillah b'tzibur. Let's say a person doesn't live in a city where there's a minyan. So how long does he have to drive an hour out of his way to daven tefillah b'tzibur and then come back another hour and then go to work? He has to spend 2 hours a day for shacharis and 2 hours for mincha and so on. So the Gemara has an amount of time, the maximum amount of time you mechuyav to spend. So you see, if it's a real din, let's say you have to wear tefillin every day, you have to shake the lulav, even if it'll take all day long to get the tefillin to shake the lulav, so you have to do it. And the fact that the Gemara gives you a shear, how much time you mechuyav to lose every day, every tefillin, in order to daven tefillah b'tzibur, so you see that it's not really a chiyuv. It's just that you stand a better chance of having the tefillah's answer. It makes more sense to daven tefillah b'tzibur. That's what we spoke about the Gemara on the top of Amud Beis. Kol haragel lo b'beis haknesses. It's not an absolute chiyuv, and it says that it's a midas chasidus. It enhances the davening, and therefore it's a minik toif. A minik toif. Kol haragel lo b'beis haknesses. One who's in the practice of always davening in shul, davening in tzibur. One day he doesn't, then he's in violation of his minik toif. So then it's even interpreted in the Gemara. Whenever the minig is in conflict with the real din, then the din takes precedence. But if it's a dvar hashuz, then you're obligated to observe the minig, to follow the minig. Minig toiv, the Gemara says in Adarim, is binding the tam nedim in the rabban.
Doesn't the Gemara give the same shirim for until sedaim before tila? So that's a din. But that's not a
good taina. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good taina. He assumes that the fact that there's a limit, how much time you have to spend, shows that because you can clean your hands by midi de menaki also. So dafka, that you have to have water, that's already, he assumes that that's already amidas chasidus. Because you can clean your hands without water. There's room to dingsa. Okay. Yep. Then the Gemara says, Menayin shaKadosh Baruch Hu motzeh b'beis haKnesses, Elokim nitzel b'avdas kel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Shechina will be present in the Beis HaKnesses. Even if the 10 people are davening on a field, the 10 people are davening in a classroom, they're not davening in a Mokam HaMiyuchad, the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. So also, same pasuk, Elokim Nitzel Ba'daskel. The Shechina will be there when you have a minyan, the Shechina will be there in the Beis HaKnesses. When I'm the Shloshesh Yoshua B'din, when you have a Din Torah, Sheshchina Moim, Shenema, Berkeva Elokim Vishpo. Again, the Shechina will be present to help the Talmid Chacham that they shouldn't make a mistake. That's why a Pesach is binding, because we assume that the person had, or the Beis Din had a Siyata Rishmaya, that they shouldn't make a mistake. So the Gemara asked Akasha if Chemiachan, the second wide line of Chemiachan, Dafilu, where was it about after that? If Shnaim Shiosh Matoira, Shechina Imoim, was Nidbur, Yerev Shem Yeshua, Yakshav Shem Yishma, so what's the Chiddush of Shlosha? Where did the Gemara have that Akasha? The third white line. Chemiachat afilu trei. If two people are talking and learning, b'charusa, the Shechina will be there. So tlosam iboya, three certainly the same. So Gemara says, no, ma'avadatema, one might have mistakenly thought, dina adintarish lama bi'almahu, just to keep peace. But la'yasa Shechina, kamash malon, the dina nami hainu Torah. Din is also Torah. So the Avadineza has a very fascinating tshuva. All the tshuvas and the Avdineza have numbers, and this tshuva has a number and it has a title. Shesh Maidlas Lakisei. That Shlomo HaMelech had six steps in order to reach the throne. He had to walk up six steps. So the Shesh Maidlas Lakisei are a tshuva that one of the Rabbanim passed away, and there was a toss-up who should take over the Rabbanis, his son-in-law or his son. So he has the first Maidla he discussed whether Rabbanis goes to Birusha. That's question number one. Because Torah doesn't go Birusha, so maybe Rabbanah shouldn't go Birusha either. So he says, Torah doesn't go Birusha, but Rabbanah is not really Torah. The rabbis today are social directors. He says, the Gemara says,
Is that true?
Yeah. He says, the role of the rabbi, the Gemara has a lashon, man malki Rabbanah. Why are rabbis malki? He says, Malchus does go Birusha. So Rabbanus is really, someone is a Rebbe in Yeshiva, so he seems to assume that wouldn't go Birusha. That's learning. So learning doesn't go Birusha. But Malchus means a hanhaga, a leadership. So that's a pasuk in the Chumash. L'man yarech yamim ha-mamlach tohu bona b'kerev Yisrael. If the children are roy to take over the father's position, so they have kedima. So Malchus does go Birusha. So Rabbanus is considered, he says, the role of the rabbi is not so much the pasuk and shaylas. All the shaylas were worked out already in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, everything is printed already, basically. So the role of the rabbi is melech and mishpat yamir eretz, to maintain law and order in the community, to take care of tzedakah and chesed. Absolvechik used to say over that he heard from Ramea Bar Ilan. Ramea Bar Ilan was the son of the Netziv. He wrote this up. That he once discussed with three different relatives of his, what is the role of the rabbi? So he said, the Archal Shulchan is of the opinion that the role of the rabbi is to Pashkin Shilas. And Rab Chaim Soloveitchik was of the opinion that the role of the rabbi was to supervise chesed in the city. And Epis, Rabbi Frol Valojana, I forgot about what his opinion was. He quotes the three different opinions. So the Avdeinezer thinks that they're not like the Rav Shulchan. The role of the rabbi is not so much the Paskin Shailas. That may also be part of his job. But the main role of the rabbi is to maintain law and order in the city. So that's what the Avdeinezer writes. But Melech Mishpat Yamin Eretz, to maintain law and order, that's the role of the rabbi today. So that does go Birusha. That's what it means, Ma Malchi Rabban. So he draws a distinction between Dine HaMelech and Dine HaTorah. the role of the king is to lishpot asa'om, and the role of the batidinim is lishpot asa'om. But he says it's a different mishpat ha-melech is different from the mishpat ha-toira, and he quotes a chubas, drosha saran to this effect. In this chuba, he quotes a lot of radaks on nevim uksuvim to establish what's the role of the melech, and he quotes this drosha saran. That the role of the king is mishpat hamelech, is to maintain law and order. The role of a bezdin, the Gemara says, ma'u detema. One might have mistakenly thought dina, din tar is only shlama be'alma, just to maintain law and order. V'lo yaseh shechina, nothing to do. Kamash melan, the din nami, hain the Torah, and the shechina comes. The din ha-Torah, the din Torah of the batidinim is to bring the shechina down to this world. But the mishpat hamelech is not for the purpose of bringing the shechina. It's not going to necessarily be the same. Mishpat HaTor is not going to be the same as Mishpat HaMel. The role of the king is to just to maintain law and order. So this is one of the Gemaras that he quotes. Then the Gemara has a famous Gemara, Menan Shakadosh Baruch Hu Minech Tefillin. Gemara says he wears tefillin shal yad and tefillin shal rosh, just like we have dalet parshas. He has dalet parshas, and our dalet parshas we emphasize Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. What does that mean? Atem asisuni chativ achas ba'olam. You declare that I am unique. Ana yas eschem chativ achas ba'olam. I will make you into a unique nation. So the Gemara clearly seems to be understanding, saying Gemara here in Chagiga, the Gemara seems to be understanding that Sheisal Shem Echad, what do you mean Hashem Echad? So there are three different Perushim. The Rambam learns Hashem Echad means we believe in monotheism, as opposed to the Christians who believe in the Trinity, as opposed to other religions who believe in many other Zoras. So we believe in monotheism. Hashem Echad is only one God. Rashi and Chumash doesn't learn like that. Rashi and Chumash learns Hashem Shehu Achshav Elokeinu Lo Asilove, the day will come that Hashem Echad, God will be accepted by all the nations of the world. Now we're the only ones who accept this invisible God as the ruler of the world, and the day will come Hashem Echad and all the nations of the world. That's the theme of Malchias. The Pshat that Rashi gives on Chumash, Hashem Echad, not talking about monotheism, that is the theme of Malchias, the day will come that all the nations of the world will accept Hashem. Did Tanaim have that? Gemara says beferish, we have it in the davening of Rosh Hashanah. You have to have 10 psukim for Malchus, 10 psukim for Zechronis, 10 psukim for Shofars. They have to have 3 psukim from Chumash, 3 from Ksuvim, 3 from Nevi'im, and then the 10th pasuk is also from Chumash. So the Gemara doesn't have a 4th pasuk. There is no 4th pasuk from Malchus and the Chumash that say that Hashem is the Melech. There are only 3 psukim. So the Gemara says, this is the 4th pasuk. Hashem Echad, the day will come that all the nations of the world will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king over the world. That's the way Rashi learns. That's how the Gemara says you can use Hashem Echad as a pasuk in the 4th pasuk in the last pasuk, the 4th pasuk of Chumash in Malchias. And then the Gemara here seems to have a 3rd pshat in Hashem Echad. Not like the Rambam, maybe all the 3 pshatim are correct. Achaz Dibra Lakim Shtaim Zu Shamati, the Pasuk Zah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. There's one text of the Pasuk. You can have more than one level of interpretation in any given Pasuk. So one level of interpretation is Hashem Echad, we believe in monotheism. There's only one God, one level. That's how the Rambam learned. Then one level of interpretation is Hashem Shu Achshav Elokeinu, the day will come that he will be accepted by all the nations of the world. That's the theme of Malchias. And then our Gemara learns, Atem Asisuna Chativ Achaz Boilam, where we say Hashem Echad, God is unique. God is unique, so the Mele means that there's monotheism. There's only one God. If there'll be more than one God, he wouldn't be unique. But that's how the Gemara, our Gemara, seems to learn. Hashem Echad, Hashem is Anachno Osimoso Chativ Achaz Boilam. He says, Mikam Chisoga Echad Boaretz. He says, the Jewish people is unique. The Gemara has in different places. Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote a whole encyclopedia of his Chidush Torah, alphabetically arranged. He called it Beis HaOitzer. So he published Chelek Aleph and Beis, and the rest, unfortunately, was lost when the Nazis destroyed everything in Europe. So it was destroyed. His Mishpacha went back at different times to look for it, and they couldn't find it. So they assumed that it's lost. So he has, under the letter Aleph, under Echad, he discusses where are places in Tanakh, but the word Echad means unique. It doesn't mean one, it means unique. So he quotes as a Keves Echad, Taseb Abayker. The Gemara says it should be a unique behemoth. It should be Min Amufchor. The Gemara has a few places like that. He quotes a few sources in the Gemara, but the Gemara interprets the word Echad as it appears in Tanakh in different places, not to be one, but rather to be unique. So this Gemara is very strange. We believe that God doesn't have anybody. There were Rishonim who put the Rambam in Chayrim, the Sufi Rambam in Chayrim, because at this point, the Rambam says God doesn't have a body. So he said it's against all the Psukim and Tanakh, against all the Gemaras. Baruch Hashem's leg and tefillin. Obviously, he has a head and he has an arm. Otherwise, where is he putting the Shalyad and the Shalrosh? So the Gemara is against the Rambam. You see that God does have a body and he does like to. The Rambam assumes that God doesn't have a body. We don't observe the Chayrim that they made against the Rambam. We look in the Sifri HaRambam. We assume that the Rambam's opinion prevailed. So the Rashbo has a separate sefer on Biur Agodas and Maseches Brochas. So he quotes in the Chedusha Rashba, they have it in the regular Rashba, they have it briefly, in the Chedusha Agodas a little longer, that this was Bemara Hanavua. Not that God really has a body, that Bemara Hanavua, he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu wearing tefillin. Kesha tefillin hail the honor of Risa Sachara, Fana Leirok, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him Kesha Shal tefillin. He saw Mara Hanavua like that. Then he saw Mara Hanavua that Vayav Hashem Alpano Vayikra. Labra Lefnei Ateva has the connotation of a Shliach Tzibur who goes to Davin Faranomen. Vayav Hashem Alpano Vayikra, so the Tanoim understood that to mean Malamed, after the Chet Rege, Malamed Shinesat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shliach Tzibur, and he went in front of the Teva to Davin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara is going to have soon over him, and Ainsh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mispal, Shinemek, means the place where I daven. The Rabban Shalom davens in the basement. Well, who does he daven to? He davens to himself. What does that mean? So it's Moshe Rabbeinu, Bemara Hanavua, saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had a vision. He had a chaloim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was dressed up like a human being and wearing a talis. And he told Moshe Rabbeinu, because Man Shabbana Chotim, he asked for the funny to say, Let them put up a chazan, let the chazan put on a talis, let the chazan say, you give them leaders, and everyone should answer with them, and I will forgive them. So this was all the Mara Hanavua. That's what the Rashba quotes from Rav Aigwan, I think, that a God doesn't have a body, how can he wear a talis, and how can it be the Shliach Tzibur? This was the Mara Hanavua. Then he says that others interpret it differently. He doesn't say who they are, doesn't say what they said. But that's the Pashtus. It's assumed today that God does not have a body. The Rambam says whoever thinks that God has a body is an apikoros. Because anything that has, if you have, this is a dova gashmi, a table, a gemara, this is a tangible thing, the different parts to it. So that's not echad. It's one cup, it's only one table, but the table has four legs, and the table has a top, there are different parts to it. When we say that God is one, we mean achtus pshuto, it's not achtus merkevis, not that you have different. I'm one person, but I have 10 fingers, and I have 10 toes, and I have 2 eyes, and I have 2 ears. So that's not, that's an achdus morkevus. So Rabbi Shlom is achdus pshuta. So it must be, he doesn't have any body at all. So that's what we assume, God doesn't have any body. So all of these agodas are a little bit misleading. So the Ravid is massing on the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, he lists up who all the apikursim are. So he says, one who believes that God has a body is an apikoros because he doesn't really believe in achdus Hashem, in the sense achdus pshuta. So the Ravid says, how can you say that there are apikorsim, gedolim and tzaddikim imenu, great and more pious people than the Rambam believe that God had a body? Because of the agadas hamishapshes as hadas, because of the agadatas and the gemara that mislead you. So you see, the Ravid also agrees, seems to also agree with the Rambam that God does not have a body. And he says about these agoras that the Ribbon Shalom wears tefillin and he davens for an omen and so on, that they're misleading. The agoras are misleading. But he just tied this. How can you call these people apikursim? They were misled by the psukim in Tanakh and by the agoras to believe that God has a body. But the rabbi also agrees God doesn't have a body. That's what we assume. And many put the Sifri HaRambam in Chayrim because they believe that God did have a body. They felt that Rambam was the Apikoros. He was Eni Hashem, Yad Hashem, Ragle Hashem. All the Pesukim in Tanakh and all the Agoras. So that's the Gemara. That the line that we say in Anim Zmir is Kesher Tefillin Ha'Elyonov, that's based on the comment the Gemara has, I think it's in Menachos. Barisa Sachairai, Afane Lairos, and Barisa Sachairai refers to the Kesher Shal Rosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the Kesher Shal Rosh to Moshe Rabbeinu. What did he have to show him the Kesher Shal Rosh for? Could have told me, make a Kesher. Take a ritzua and you pull it through the bayis and you make a kesher that should be in the shape of a dalet. What do you have to show it for? So Rabbi Elbel of Soloveitchik has in his Sefer on the Rambam, he has a comment that has a connection with this Gemara. The Gemara has an interpretation of the pasuk. V'ro kalam heros kishem hashem nikra lecho v'yorim imeko. The Ummah Salem will be afraid of the Jewish people when they'll see that we're wearing tefillin. Ela tefillin she barosh. When we wear the tefillin shalrosh, which are noticeable, tefillin shal yad, you can't see, because a lot of times it may be covered up, Tosis quotes. So tefillin shal yad could be mechusa l'chol liyos v'lo l'cherem liyos. The Gemara says, you may be mechasa if you want to. You don't have to, but you may be mechasa if you want to. But tefillin shel rosh are supposed to be megula. That's why many achrayim say even when you do atifa, you put the talis over your head. You shouldn't put the talis over the shel rosh. You put the talis up until the shel rosh, so the shel rosh should be exposed. Others had the minhag that the achrayim, others had the minhag, put the talis over the shel rosh. They have in the books that when Rabbi Choel Weissmandel founded the Nitri Yeshiva here in America. He was the Rabbi Nitri in Europe. So he used to put the talis over his head how many times? So they had a big hole where the Shal Rosh was. He always would slam it down. They had a big hole. So the boys bought him a new talis and and they asked him, would you want us to make the hole or you want to make the hole yourself? So he said, I don't want any hole. The hole is an accident. He put the talis over his tefillin Shal Rosh so many times. Made a hole. Don't make a hole. It's a brand new talis. He didn't want a hole. The others hold that that's not right. You shouldn't, the other achrayim say, you shouldn't put the talis over the shel rosh. Shel rosh should be megula, baro kalami haaretz. That's exactly the difference between the shel yad and the shel rosh. Shel rosh is supposed to be visible. Shel yad doesn't have to be visible. L'cholios v'lo lehem l'os means doesn't have to be visible. So the Gemara, Reb Leizer HaGadol, comments on Reb Leizer Ben Hurkens, is called Reb Leizer HaGadol. Yishalmi says the reason why they called him Rabbi Leizer HaGadol because he was very humble. And we say, there's a comment in the Yitl Lecha, Komok Mishatamosu, Kudeloso, Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hashem Atamotze, Amisanuso. Whenever the Pasuk speaks about how powerful HaKadosh Baruch is, it always mentions how humble he is. Rabbi Leizer HaGadol was called a Gadol because he was so humble. You know, that's what the Yishalmi says. The Gemara tells so many stories about Rabbi Leizer HaGadol. Sounds as if he's always... as if he's always bossing around all the other Tanoim. You don't get that impression from Nimar, but that's what the Rishami says. He was known for his humility. So he comments that Ela Tefillin Shabarosh, when we wear the Tefillin, so the Yom HaSa'ilim will be afraid of us. So Tosfos quotes a Rashi. The Bach tells you where the Rashi is, and not on our daf in Brochus, it's in Menachos. Menachos daf Lamed Hei, he says. Tosfos quotes Rashi, why Ela Tefillin Shel Barosh? So Tosfos says why, because the Tefillin Shel Barosh are visible and Tefillin Shel Yad are sometimes mechusa. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says that you have a shin, the Gemara says you have a shin on Shel Rosh, then you have a dalet in the Kesher Shel Rosh in the back, then you have a yud on the Kesher Shel Yad. That's Shem Hashem, shin dalet yud, Shem Hashem. One of the Zayin Shem Hashem Nimchokim. Gemara in Shavuos, and Laman Hei gives you a list of all the Zayin Shem Shein B'chokim. It's in Yeredeya and Chelagim on the Hilchos Sefer Torah. So Shin Dalad Yud is one of the Shemes. So you have two out of the three letters, the Rav of the Shem, Shakai, is in the Shel Rosh. That's what Rashi says. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says, true, the Gemara says, Kesher Shel Tefillin, Halacha L'Moshe Mi Sinai, Halacha Moshe Messina is that there should be a kesher, but the tzuras hakesher, that this is a kesher b'tzuras yud, and that's a kesher b'tzuras da, but Tosfos thinks that that's only by the Rabbanan. That's not ben Torah. A simple raya, the Gemara, in the last parak in Erevin, the Gemara has a machlokes satanoim, whether aniva, if you make a bow, aniva is a malacha of kosher on Shabbos, is it considered kesher shal yoni chayv on Shabbos if you do kesher shal kayama? If you don't make a kesher shal kayama, you're not chayv. So kesher shal kayama needs two things. Number one, the tzuras hakesher should be kesher shal kayama. And number two, your intention, your kavana should be to leave it for a long period of time. So the Gemara has a machlokes rebuta in the Chachamim, machlokes atanan, whether aniva constitutes a kesher shal kayama and the tzuras hakesher. So the Gemara says, Toli zeh bezeh is, if you have tefillin, shal yad or shal rosh, and you have to make a kesher, can you satisfy that requirement of kesher shal tefillin al Lacha Moshe Mesinai by making an aniva? Well, how can you make an aniva? It has to be b'tzuras dalet or b'tzuras yud. See, it would appear from the Gemara that the whole requirement for the tzuras dalet, tzuras yud, the whole thing is only midirabbanim. But Rashi seems to hold not so. Rashi seems to hold, no, that the Shin and the Dalet and the Niyud spell out Shem, Shin, Dalet, Shem Hashem. And since the Rav, the two out of the three letters appear on the Shal Rosh, so that's why Baro Kalami Horetz, when they see the Shem Hashem Nikro Alecho, the Rav of Shem Hashem of Shin Dalet Yud will be on the Shal Rosh. That's what Rashi learns. So Tosfos Taina is that there's a Gemara in Bamei Madlikin seems to contradict Rashi. On Daf Chav Chesan and Beis and Bamei Madlikin, what does it say there? What discusses there the Gemara discusses there the Tachash Oris Eilim Yaldom Averos Tchoshim Atzei Shittim. They needed a Tachash to use the hide to cover over the Mishkan. So the Gemara says that the Tachash doesn't exist today. It was only in the generation of the Mishkan the Tachash existed. So Gemara wants to know, was it a kosher animal or was it a non-kosher animal? In order to establish a kosher animal, it has to be malagir, mafis parsa. Was it a kosher animal? So why not check today? So Gemara, we don't have any tachash today, so we have no way to check. So the Gemara says, it must have been a kosher animal because we have a halacha, Moshe Mesinai, luhukshuru, mecha shamayim, alor behem atar bilvad. You can't use for the Mishkan, something from a behemoth mess. So it must be the orest choshem uyu. It must be the tachash was a kosher animal. So Gemara says, why do you really need this halacha moshe misina? Don't we have a pasuk and chumash? Halacha moshe misina means a din known through the Torah Shebaal Peh that there's no way to derive it by reading in between the lines. That's called halacha moshe misina. We mentioned the other day, hatoras nedarim. So the Mishnah, the lashon of the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Chagiga is Het and Darm Pochim Boavir, Vein Lahem Al Meshe Yismochu. Het, Hatoras and Darm. Hafara, that the husband has the ability to be made for the wife's Nadarim, or the father can be made for the daughter's Nadarim. So that's Mefurish and Chumash. That even the Karoim observed that. Hafara is in Chumash. But Hatoras and Darm, that doesn't say in Chumash. So the Karaites, right, the years never accepted Hatoras and Darm, because they never accepted Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Mishnah, in the end of the first parak in Chagiga, is of the opinion, Tanan the Mishnah is of the opinion, that it's purely halachal moshe misina v'aleh, porchem bo avira, is recited orally, said over orally from generation to generation, and the sound waves float in the air, porchem bo avira, v'aleh ha-meshe yismochu. There's no pasuk and chumash that you can derive it from. So that's the definition of halachal moshe misina. The Gemara quotes Brisa after Brisa after Brisa, there at the end of the first parak in Chagiga, other Tanoim disagree with the Mishnah and say, Yeshlam al Meshe Yismochu, it's not a halacha Moshe Mesinai, it's a drasha from a pasuk. You can read it in between the lines of the pasuk. Al Yachal Devarai, Hu Eine Mecha, Labal Achayim, Mechon Loi, other drashas, other Tanoim have other drashas. Whatever it is, we know that there is a din of Hataras Nadar. So the Gemara says, we have a pasuk in Chumash that says, Lamanti Yotaras Hashem Eficho, it says you should wear tefillin, and the purpose of wearing tefillin is to remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. When you write Divrei Torah, when you write tefillin and mezuzah, Sefer Torah, the parchment on which you're writing has to be from a kosher animal. So that's learned that from that phrase, Leman tia Torah Hashem b'ficha min hamuta b'ficha. If you're writing Dibrei Torah, you have to write on Dover hamuta b'ficha. So the cloth that you use, let's say, v'torah tefillin and mezuzah, has to be from a kosher animal. Even though the hide of an elephant, the hide of a horse, or a donkey is not treif, it's not basar, it's not edible, it's not royal achila. Atzamas and gidin and karnaim and tlofim and or, all of these are not basar, only the sar behemoth tmei is osar. But still, nonetheless, that's the halacha. You have to use or behemoth, or you can't use or behemoth tmei. So the Gemara says, what do you really need this halacha l'moshim misen l'huchshul l'malach l'shamayim? Or behemoth tmei b'levad, for tefillin you don't need. For tefillin and mezuzah, you don't need it, because that has the reiter. Then the Gemara says, for the bayish shal rosh also you don't need it, because the shin shal tefillin, halacha l'moshim misen, you need a shin. So the shin is one letter of the reiter. So it's also covered with the din. Toras Hashem Eficha min Amuta Eficha doesn't have to have a whole parsha, doesn't even have to have a whole pasuk. It has one letter of Dibrei Torah, the Shin Shel Tefillin is one letter of Torah. It's also covered with the rule of Toras Hashem Eficha min Amuta Eficha. So the Bayi Shel Rosh has to be Or Behemot Torah because of the Shin Shel Tefillin. But the Ritzuas, the Gemara says the Ritzuas or the Bayi Shel Yad, Rabbi Kevegri asked that, why not? The Gemara didn't say Bayi Shel Yad. Only a shin on the shal rosh, on the shal yad. There is no shin. So the Gemara says, for the ritzuas, you need this halacha l'moshim sinai, l'huchshu l'malach ha-shamayim v'lohar behemot Torah b'lvad. And you also need it for the tachash. The tachash either was a kosher animal or not kosher. They were told to use a tachash, so you don't need halacha l'moshim sinai for that. They couldn't substitute tachash with another animal. The Gemara said, it happens that it was a kosher animal, b'mikra, it happened to be a kosher animal. So it fit in with this halacha l'moshim sinai, the l'huchshu l'mlach shamayim alar behemot Torah b'lvad. Yeah, that's the question. What about the shofar? If you have a shofar from a non-kosher animal, is that acceptable? Because the ritzuas are what we call tashmishi kedusha, and the oris tchoshim for the mishkan, that's also tashmishi kedusha. The Gemara says a megillah. Gemara has a brisa maseches megillah. All religious articles are divided into two categories. There are Tashmishi Mitzvah and Tashmishi Kedusha. So the Tashmishi Mitzvah have Kedusha temporarily, Bizman Mitzvasam, calls Man Mitzvasam. That's learned out from the Pasuk of Huktza the Mitzvasai by Schach, by Sukkah. The Gemara has a Pasuk that Huktza the Mitzvasai is a Din Daraisa. Muktza is usually a Din Darabana. So the Ramban says, but Huktza the Mitzvasai, that Muktza, that's a Din Daraisa. Tais is understood. Otherwise, Taisus understood that the hook to the mitzvah is not identical with Chal Shem Shamayim Ala Sukkah. Taisus discusses in different mesichtas why do you need three different reasons why you're not allowed to gain benefit from the schach. Why can't you use them? So one reason is midirabana hook to the mitzvah. Taisus assumes mukta is always the rabbana. Another reason is kishem shachal shem shamayim ala chagiga, kal chal shem shamayim ala sukkah. The sukkah is referred to as Chagas Sukkahs. The Poshib Shadan Pasuk is we should celebrate Chagas Sukkahs, Tasalacha Shevas Yamim, Ba'as Bukham Migarnacham Yikvecha. So the Poshib Shadan Pasuk is you should celebrate the holiday, the festival of Sukkahs, for the duration of 7 days, Chagas Sukkahs, Tasalacha Shevas Yamim. And what season of the year? Ba'as Bukham Migarnacham Yikvecha. So that's Pshuto Shal Mikra. So then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in the whole Pasuk. You leave out the word chag. Meanwhile, sukkah tasa l'cho, you should construct the sukkah. Tasa v'lemir osui. Shivas yamim, you have to construct the sukkah that it should be starting up to last for all 7 days. If you make a wobbly sukkah that's going to collapse after 4 or 5 days, and not even yotze the first day of sukkah, that's b'yvoy l'chol shiva. And what should you use for schach? Ba'os b'chom megarna chomi yikvecha, you should use soldas garan v'yekev. What's left over after you squeeze out the wine, and after you take the tvua, you separate the straw, the stalks of straw, from the kernels of grain. The kernels of grain are roi lachila. So that's mekabel tumah. So you require three conditions that schach should be kosher. Has to be gedula karka, has to be tolush, and it has to be dobshen mekabel tumah. So that's ba'os b'chom megon necham mikvecho, is psal b'zgar v'yekev. That's the source for that halacha, that the three prerequisites, the three conditions that are necessary, that the schach should be kosher, that it should be gedulei karka, tolish and dobshen v'kabel tumah. So everything fits in well with this new level of interpretation, except for the word chag. What do you mean? Sukkah stasa lecha, you should construct the sukkah. It goes on the schach. Tasa ulemenos, shiva salmim, should be sturdy enough to last for 7 days. But it says schacha sukkahs. It means that you should celebrate the holiday of sukkah. It doesn't go on constructing the sukkah. Mora says, no. This additional level of interpretation of the Torah Sheba'al Peh's interpretation means sukkah stasa lecha, you should construct the sukkah, but the sukkah is sukkah shlechak. Just like a korban chagiga. Chag means a korban chagiga. Just like a korban chagiga. It's Chal Shem Shamayim, has a din of Me'ilah, it's Hekdesh, so too, the Sukkah is Chal Shem Shamayim ala Sukkah. You're not allowed to use it for your own purposes during the duration of Sukkah. If the Sukkah is over, you can throw it in the garbage. But Kozman, that Sukkah is still there, Yontav Sukkah is still there. So all Tashmishay Mitzvah, Bizman Mitzvahsam, Ahukzele Mitzvahsam. So that's the Ramban writes like that. The Ramban in Megillah, the Ramban in the Shabbos, in three different places, the Ramban writes, The whole institution of Tashmishei Mitzvah, to have Kedusha temporarily, Bizman Mitzvasam, that we speak about the Esreg is hooked in the Mitzvasa, and the Hadassim are hooked in the Mitzvasa, you're not allowed to smell it, and the Talis is hooked in the Mitzvasa, calls man that you're wearing the Talis, and the Ramban thinks that Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is also hooked in the Mitzvasa. The Ramban is of the opinion that the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is not because it's Mikdash Miyad, not because it's patterned after the Beis HaMikdash, it's rather because of Hukta Mitzvah, the building of the Beis HaKnesses, and it enhances your davening. When you daven in a special room, you designate the room for davening, that helps enhance the davening. So the Ramban is of the opinion that the Hukta Mitzvah is a din deraisa, all other dinim amukta de Rabbanon, Hukta Mitzvah is a din deraisa. Tosis understood that there are three different reasons why you're not allowed to use the schach. One is the Rabban Huktan Mitzvah, one is Chal Shem Shamayim ala Sukkah, that's the rice, and the third one is Bizei Mitzvah, that if you use the schach for another purpose, you'll be Mevaza the Mitzvah. So Tosis explains why they need three different reasons to cover all the different cases, Tosis says. But the Ramban thinks that Huktan Mitzvah is identical with Chal Shem Shamayim ala Sukkah, and he says we derive from Sukkah, learn out from Sukkah to the Esreg and to the Hadassim that they're also hooked in the Mitzvah. You learn out from Sukkah that the Beis HaKnesses is hooked in the Mitzvah. Whenever you have an object that you use in order to perform a mitzvah, you use it in order to enhance the. You can daven without a shul also, but if you daven with a shul, so the shul, the room that's miyuchin for davening, enhances the davening. So that's also called the hooked in the Mitzvah. So the Ramah in Hilchos Shofar quotes a Ran on the Rif in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Ran is Mesupik. The Ramah doesn't quote the whole Ran. The Ran is Mesupik. If you have a Shofar from a Behemoth Tameya, from a non-kosher animal, would that be acceptable for the mitzvah of Shofar? So the Ran is Mesupik. That maybe there's a din of Lehuchshu Lemalach Hashamayim Alor Behemoth Torah Balvad, even by Shofar, even though Shofar is only Tashmishei Mitzvah. It's not Tashmishei Kedusha. If you have a shofar and you used it on Rosh Hashanah, so it's hooks in the mitzvah, so until after Rosh Hashanah is over. After Rosh Hashanah is over, this mana mitzvah is up. So if you want, you can use it for secular purposes. But calls man Rosh Hashanah, like the esrog is hooked in the mitzvah, so for that day, or for the week of Sukkot, so the shofar is hooked in the mitzvah. So the Ran has that suffix. The same thing, the Rabbi Natam. In the end of Yevamos, there's the perek mitzvah chalitza. So mitzvah chalitza, the perek, the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim. Does chalitza shoe have to be made for leather, or can it be made from wood or other materials as well? So there's a machlokes. So Rishonim had a paskin. We are machmer. We use dafke leather. The Rabbi Natam says that you can't use the regular shoes that we use. All the shoes that we wear are horse leather. You have to dafke use or behema tohira. So he says the reason why. Is because how did that Tana know that it's only called a shoe? V'cholza nala me'al ragla. How do you know that nal means a shoe that's made from leather? So the Gemara, that's how we assume, that the chalitza shoe has to be made from leather. How do you know that on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wear on Tisha B'Av, and in Shiva and Avelus, how do you know you're not allowed to wear shoes only made from leather? It's not made from leather, it's okay. Because it's based on the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Pasuk in Cheskel says that took care of the Jewish people like you deliver a baby, and then you wash the baby, and you put on powder, and you put on diapers, and you smear the baby with oil, and you stretch out the hands, and you stretch out the legs, and you straighten out the limbs, and the baby grows, and so on. And you put little shoes on the baby. So the Pasuk describes where Rabbi Shalom took care of the Jewish people after Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's like the birth of our nation. And the Pasuk continues, and I put on leather shoes on the baby. I put on leather shoes from Tachash. So Rabbeinu Tam, so the Gemara says Tachash is leather from an animal, Oros Choshim. So that's how this Tana establishes that whenever there's a din that has to do with a shoe, has to be a leather shoe. The din of Nilas HaSadol on your kippah is only a leather shoe, and the din for Chalitzas HaManol, Cholza Nala, Me'al Ragla, Nal has to be from leather. Rabbeinu Tam says, well, the Gemara says on Daf Chav Chesen, where is it? And Bama Madlikin, that the Tachash was a kosher animal. So since Tachash is a kosher animal, so the Meili you see that the shoes for Chalitza have to be from a kosher animal. So what do you mean? So you can wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur because it's horse leather. It's only also to wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur made from a Tachash. That's very strange. The Pashta says Rabbeinu Tam agrees that you're not allowed to wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur, even leather from horse leather, like our shoes are all horse leather. So the Orach HaShulchan and others write, they think that Rabbeinu Tam meant because you're doing a mitzvah with the chalitza shoes. So it's a tashmishe mitzvah. So not only does the Rabbeinu Tam think that by tashmishe kedusha is there such a din, l'huchshur l'malech ha-shamayim al-or behematar b'lvad. L'ach shamayim refers to the ritzuas and refers to the oris choshim on top of the Mishkan. It refers also to Tashmishe Mitzvah. The Chalitza shoes Tashmishe Mitzvah, and the Ran said it by Shofar as well. That's a discussion. Nachronim, they collect all the Rishonim who talk about this topic, whether the din of Huchshu l'malach ha-shamayim includes only Tashmishe Kedusha, or even includes Tashmishe Mitzvah. So the Balei HaTosfos argue with Rashi, if the Rashi in Menachas Daf Lamed Hey were right that you have the letters Shin Dalad Yud and the Tefillin and the Shal Rosh has the Shin and the Dalad, the row of the Shem Hashem, and that's the Pshat. Row Kalam Herzke Shem Hashem Nikra Lach. You have the Shin Dalad Yud Shem Hashem the Yorim in Mecca. That's why they'll be afraid. So how can it be if it just like the Shin? Is a letter, so the Dalet and Yud are also letters. So the Ritzuas of the Tefillin would have to be our Behemoth Torah without this Halach al Moshe Misina of Lehuchshu Melech Shamayim. The Gemara says the Baishal Rosh, that Gemara, and Bema Madlikan says the Baishal Rosh has to be our Behemoth Torah because of the Drosha from the Pasuk. You don't need Halach al Moshe Misina because the Drosha from the Pasuk of Torah Hashem Eficha Min Amuta Beficha. So if the Baishal Rosh has a Shin, and it's governed with the rule of Teres Hashem Eficha, so the Dalet and Yud should be the same. So why does the Gemara say that you need the Halacha L'Moshe Misina to cover the din of the Ritzuas? So that's Tosfos Rai against Rashi. That the Tzuras Dalet and Tzuras Yud, that's only with the Rabbanan min HaTorah. All you need is a Kesher, Kesher Shal Tfilm, a Kesher Shal Kayama, Kesher Al Gabi Kesher, and Aniva would be the Machlokes HaTanaim, even though the Aniva doesn't have the right shape at all. That's Tosfos Tanya against Rashi. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that you look in the Rambam, maybe the Rambam seems to hold like Rashi, that the Dal and the Yud are also deraisa, so he's going to be faced with Tosfos Kashas. If the Dal and Yud are all deraisa, Kesher Shaltvel Alachal Moshe Mesinai, it's not only that there should be a Kesher, but the Kesher should be B'tzuras Dal and B'tzuras Yud. So why do you need the Alachal Moshe Mesinai? It should be covered with the Pasuk, Torah Hashem Eficha. So Rav Soloveitchik has this in his Sefer on the Rambam. Also Rav Soloveitchik said that there it is that the Rambam says that the Kesher Shal Yud should be a Kesher B'tzuras Yud. He doesn't say that it's a Yud. And it's not a Dalet. It's a Kesher that should look like a Dalet, Kesher that should look like a Yud. But it really isn't. The Shin is Takeh Shin. So that's Toras Hashem Beficha, Min Amuta Beficha. The Shin is an Ois of Divrei Torah. But the Dalet and the Yud is not really Oisius. That's the tzura that it should look like. So that's about double the Soloveitchik adds on. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu herald on the Moshe Kesher Shel Tefillin? Why did he show him? He should have said, make a Kesher that looks like a Dal. He wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to know that it's just a din, what it's supposed to look like. It's not a real Dal, and it's not a real Yud. It's a Kesher that should look like a Dal, Kesher that should look like a Yud. So then he proceeded to explain That Gemara in Menachos on Daf Lamed Hey. I'm not sure if that's the right Daf. So the Gemara Menachos has a whole list of things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling over to the Bnei Yisrael which are the kosher animals, which are the kosher shrotzim, which are the non-kosher shrotzim. So it says, V'zelachem atome. Whatever it says there, like it says, Zekele v'anveihu. What does it mean, Zekele v'anveihu? So the Gemara assumes they saw something that represented the Shekhinah. Not that they knew that the Shekhinah was there. That means there's something you can be married by it, but you can point your finger to it. There's some visual aid over here. Zekele v'anveihu, Rosh Hashiv Chalayam, Masha Leroy, Cheskat Ben Buzi, Memaisa Merkova. So V'zelachem HaTomei means HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu this is a non-kosher sheretz and this is a kosher sheretz. Why did he have to show him? He should have said. He should have told him the rules and he should have described what all the other dinim he described. And he said, Basa B'chalav. He didn't have to show him a cheeseburger. He told him, you can't cook meat with milk together. He didn't have to show him all the other mitzvahs. He just told him what the shatnas is. He didn't have to show him what shatnas looks like. Rav Soloveitchik thought that all of those Gemaras is all on one daf Gemara. All the Gemaras, all the memories that say HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu this and that and the other thing, HaKadosh Hazeh Lachem, HaKadosh Hazeh cannot only refer to the month of Nisan. What does it say Hazeh? Hazeh means something you can be married by Yetzba. So the Gemara understands HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the moon right after it became visible. And they said, when the moon will be visible like this, then you should declare that it should be Rosh Chodesh. So why did he have to show him? Why did he have to demonstrate? He should have told him. When the moon will be visible, that's it. He didn't have to demonstrate. Hashem. So Rav Elbel Soloveitchik thought that all of those cases where it says Zeh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a din of what it's supposed to look like. Yeah. So what's with the Shvatzim? So Rav Elbel explained that there's a Gemara in Psochem and in Makkos, but the Gemara says, Zachol putisa loika arba, nemola loika chomesh, tzira loika shesh. Sometimes you eat a non-kosher fish, a non-kosher sheret, so you get 5-6 times malchus. Why do you get so many malchus? So that's a machlokes harishayim. So Rashi and Tosfos and the Ramban and all the Goinim, they all learned, if you have a pasuk repeated many times not to eat the sheret, so you get malchus many times according to how many times the pasuk is repeated. The Rambam stands out, the Rambam disagrees with all of this. The Rambam says that a kefil alav, you only like it once. The pasuk is repeated several times for emphasis, but there's only going to be one time malchus. That's the Rambam has the 14 klolim. In the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvah, the Rambam has the 14 guiding principles that determine what belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, when you should count it as many mitzvahs, and when you should count it as one mitzvah. So Shorish Tes is one of the more important of the Shorashim. Some of them nobody ever reads, but Shorish Aleph and Beis are important, and Shorish Tes is one of the famous ones. So he says that kefil alav, you don't count many times. You only count it once. So how does the Rambam read the Gemara? That you get 6 times malchus if you eat one sheretz. So the Rambam says there's one lav on sheretz hamayim, and one lav on sheretz ha'oretz, if it crawls on the ground. There's one lav on sheretz ha'of. There's another lav on a sheretz that's spontaneously generated. So if you happen to have a sheretz that flies and it swims and it crawls and it's spontaneously generated, then you get 4 times malchus. That's how the Rambam reads. So the Rabbin makes fun of the Rambam. The Rabbin in Hilchos Macholos Asuras, he calls the Rambam Hama'asef Hazeh. The Rambam is a collector. He collects all the Gemaras. Hama'asef Hazeh, also Dvarim She'enam. The Rambam collects the things that don't exist. What do you mean? There's an animal that swims and it flies and it crawls on the ground. It doesn't exist. Why doesn't it exist? The Rabbin himself says. There are animals that swim and they fly. Chickens fly also. It doesn't fly like a crow. But it flies a little bit. It flies and the chickens walk on the ground and some of them can, there are animals that can swim, fly and crawl also. What is the Rabbit's Kasha Masa? It's also Dvarmshen. What's his Taina? So the Rabbi Elbele thought that the Taina was that if you ask someone who's in this field, what do you call one who studies animals? Probably a special word for it. Who?
Biologist.
Okay. Biologist? Okay, good enough for me. Okay. So they divide all the animals. This is a sea animal and this is a fowl, this flies and this crawls on the ground. True, the one that crawls on the ground can fly also, but basically it's a sheretz or oretz. not a sheretz ha'of. And the sheretz ha'of can swim also, but it's basically, it's not a fish. A sheretz ha'mayim is if it basically is a fish. So that's the Ravid's hasoge. You shouldn't go basa what it looks like. The Ravid says, there are birds that can swim and fly. It says it knows how to swim, but it's not the sea animal. It's a fowl. It basically is. So why did the Rambam think? So that's what Rabbi Elman said. The Rambam holds that it depends on what it looks like. Even though the biologist will tell you that this is not a fowl, or this is not a sea animal, but it doesn't matter. Since it can fly and it can swim, so the Rambam Shalom said, "Zelachem atami, I'm going to show you what it looks like." It didn't depend on what it looks like. It doesn't depend on what it really is. And then he explained also, it says, V'zeh ma'isa ha-menorah. Ribbono Shel Olam showed Moshe Rabbeinu menorah shaleish, and he told him, you make the menorah like this. So the Rashi on Chumash quotes that Moshe Rabbeinu was niskasha ba'asiyas ha-menorah. He didn't know how to make the menorah, and he just threw the gold into the fire, and the menorah happened by itself. It became a menorah by itself. Why was it necessary to have such a miracle? The Chashmonaim, after the menorah was defiled in the Beis HaMikdash by Sheni, and it was used for Avodah Zarah purposes, the Chashmonaim made a new menorah. So what's so difficult? The Chashmonaim knew how to make a new menorah. So why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu make the original menorah? He was showed what it looks like. Rav Dovah L'Salvech explained, no, Bezeh means HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him, Kamara Sheharesa Bahar Kein Tasa Sam Neroah. That was a Hira Shoah, that the menorah that Moshe Rabbeinu has to make for the Mishkan has to look exactly like the Mara Eish that he showed him, Sheha Reisa Bahar, that I showed you when you were on top of Har Sinai. He knew how many Gvim and Kaltorim and Prochim he had to make and how many Kanim, but he didn't remember, he didn't have the Tzur in front of him, so he didn't remember how many empty spaces that should be over here. By the Chashmonaim, there was no such Hira Shoah. There was no din that it has to be Dafki Kamara Sheha Reisa Bahar. Just has to have so many karim, so many gvim, and kaftorim, and prochim. So it corresponded to the dinim that was good enough. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to Moshe Rabbeinu, v'zeh ma'isam noira, because it was a din how to look exactly like that demus, and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do it. He didn't remember what it was supposed to look like, so a miracle was necessary and it happened by itself. So Rav Dovah has the same thing when he gave to the the Levana. Why Achodesh Hazalachem, why Kadosh Baruch Hu showed the Levana to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Aaron? And he said, Achodesh Hazalachem, when you see the Levana like this, why did he have to show it to him? He should have said, when the Levana will be visible, then you declare Rosh Chodesh. What do you have to show it to him for? So Rabbi says something, he quotes the Meforish on the side of the Rambam in Hilchas Kiddush Achodesh, who says that even Bizman that Bezin is Mekadosh Alpi Acheshben, they're not Mekadosh the Levan al pi Hariyah. Nobody saw the moon. It's cloudy, it's raining the whole time. Nobody can see the moon. You're not going to have any Eidim. So Bezin should not declare the day as Rosh Chodesh just because it's ready after the Moilad. They have to wait till it would have been possible for the Levana to be visible. So that's a din. That's a din. It's not Stam Hechetims. If you don't see the moon, the witnesses can't come and testify that they saw the moon. Bezin can't declare Rosh Chodesh. No, we're talking Bezin's going to declare Rosh Chodesh without seeing the moon. But the ability to see the moon is a halachic requirement. Even if you're Mekadosh al-Pi HaCheshben, you're not supposed to be Mekadosh until the Levana would have been visible. So all of those cases, that's what Rav Avla said, all of those cases in the Gemara, that the Gemara has one memory after the other about the different things. He doesn't explain about the Machtza Shekel. The Gemara says, Zeyutun kolor v'alab kudim, that they have to give Machtza Shekel. Maybe he doesn't explain why did the Baruch Shalom have to show Moshe Rabbeinu Matbeir Shalesh? What do you have to show him? He doesn't explain that. Maybe that's the that what? Dafke has to look Dafke like this. I don't know. We don't have such a din. L'doiris, we don't have. Maybe there was a Hirash. Sure, I don't know. There is an issue. The Gemara says in Kol HaTarku L'shav HaKesef is Ki Kesef. Let's say when people get married, so they give a ring to the kala. That's Kiddushin Kesef. But you're not giving Kesef, you're giving Shava Kesef. So the first Mishnah says in Kiddushin that Shava Kesef is Dinah Ki Kesef. So the din is by Pinyin HaBen. Also the Gemara says you can give Ekel Zed HaPinyin Bnei, Tal Zed HaPinyin Bnei. You don't have to give Kesh. You can give Shava Kesef also. When you pay the Hegdash, you don't have to have, it says, when us not Kesef, it come low. You don't have to give Kesef. Give Shava Kesef is also good. You just can't use Karka Avodah Mashtoris. But the same thing for Pidyon HaBen. You can use Shavu Kesef, but you can't give Karka Avad Mishtoros. It's a klal prat, the klal. So the Gemara has in the Pchoiris that there are three cases where the din is that Shavu Kesef is not Kekesef. One of the three cases is the famous din that Pidyon Maisu Sheni, after Daf Kekehav and Asn. How does it say? Betzarta Kesef Biyadecho, so you need Daf Kekesef. Shavu Kesef is no good. That's a din deraisa. The one din is clearly only a din derabanan. When you come to the Ola Regal on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, you have to purchase the Ola Sriya by giving cash. You know, there's a din midirabon with the whole reason that the Yerushalmi gives, Rashi Mechoris quotes the Yerushalmi, that you can't give Shavuot Kesef. You have to use Dafke cash to buy the Ola Sriya. Then the third din is Machzah Shekel. You have to give Dafke cash. You're not Yotze if you give Shavuot Kesef. So that's a big question. Is that a din deraisa or a din derabon? That's a question of how you read the Yerushalmi on Shkolim. So Moshe Feinstein in his Trubis refers to his commentary that he wrote on the Talmud Yerushalmi when he ran away from the communists. He had to leave it behind. He was always bemoaning the fact that that was the main, his life's work, the Chibur on Yerushalmi that he had to leave behind. He didn't think that the Trubis that he wrote was so significant. Felt that the shiurim that he gave and the chibur that he wrote, he used to prepare all week long for the shiur, the weekly shiur that he gave on Friday, and the chibur on Yerushalmi, that was his main accomplishment in life. So he writes in the tshuva that he was already mevar in his sefer on Yerushalmi, that the correct girsa in Yerushalmi should be that that's a din deraisa also, that machzah shekel has to be kesef and shavu kesef, not acceptable. The two girsas in Yerushalmi, that's a din derabanan, they're a din deraisa. Rav Moshe held that that's a din deraisa. So maybe that's why Era Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, maybe that's why he showed him that it should be v'tzarta kesef, kesef sheishol of tzurim. Has to dafka look like this, has to look like a matbeya. I don't know why. Could have told him that. Then you need kesef and shavu kesef, not acceptable. I don't know. So that's where Rav Veldala has this, and it's safe on the Rambam. So he said it also, the same thing. He said the Rambam seems to hold like Rashi, that the Dalet and the Yud are deraisa. So how is he going to answer Tosfos Kasha? What do you need the Luchshu L'Malach Shamayim by the Ritzuis? Why don't you say it has to be Or Be'ema Torah? Because Torah is Hashem Beficha Min Amuta Beficha. So he gave the same answer as Rav Elbel. It's not a din of a Dalet and a Yud. It's a Kesha Betzuras Dalet and a Kesha Betzuras Yud. That's what it's supposed to look like. Then Tosfos quotes another proof. Oh, the Perek Basra, the Megillah, Dav Chavav, Kori L'Ritzuis, Tashmishi Kedusha Bi'alma. You have Gufei Kedusha and you have Tashmishi Kedusha. Then you have Tashmish the Tashmish. Let's say you have a Sefer Torah, where you have Dibre Torah written. So that's called Gufei Kedusha. Then you have a Mentala around the Sefer Torah, that's Tashmishi Kedusha. The Mentala doesn't have Psukim written on it. Not supposed to have any Psukim written on it. So that's only Tashmishi Kedusha. The Aron Kodesh holds the Sefer Torah. The Aron Kodesh, the wooden Aron Kodesh, the plastic Aron Kodesh, whatever it happens to be, or the metal Aron Kodesh. Now they use it safe. The metal Aron Kodesh is a Tashmishi Kedusha. But the Paroiches that covers the Aron Kodesh, that holds the Sefer Torah, that's twice removed, that's Tashmish to Tashmish. So Tashmish to Tashmish doesn't have the din of Tashmishi Kedusha. So the Gemara calls Ritzuas of the Tefillin Tashmishi Kedusha. The Parsha, the parchment on which the Parshias are written, the cloth on which the parsha is written, that's Gufei Kedusha. Why did the Gemara call the Ritzuas Tashmishi Kedusha? They should have called it Gufei Kedusha. It has a dalet on it, has a yud on it. It should be the same as the cloth. So for the fact that the Gemara calls it Tashmishi Kedusha, you see that it doesn't have any Yosias on it.
Why is the Aron Tashmishi Kedusha? What if they always put the Sefer Torah in with the cover? The cover of Tashmishi Kedusha. So the Aron's never touched it.
By the Sfarim, they put it in a big case. A mentala, yeah. Well, a mentala covers up the cloth, but it houses the whole thing. It still protects it. Let's say if it'll be raining, so the mentala is not going to protect the Sefer Torah from the rain, but the Aron Kodesh will. So the Aron Kodesh, I think, is directly Meshamesh, the Sefer Torah. It protects it from the bad weather. The Pareches, the Gemara says, is a Tashmish to Tashmish. That's twice removed. So the Bizman Hazeh, the Pareches, Bizman HaGemara, the Pareches used to be called Tashmishi Kedusha, because they used to Kavua, they used to take off the paroches from the Aron Kodesh and put it on the shulchan to put the Sefer Torah on top of it. So in the days of the Gemara, the paroches used to be a tashmishi kedusha. But b'zman hazeh, nobody has that practice. They always have a mapa on the shulchan. So the paroches is, the shulchan also says, b'zman hazeh, the paroches is twice removed. It's tashmish to tashmish for the Sefer Torah.
What?
The Gemara calls it Ritzuas Tashmishi Kedusha.
It's a different type of Tashmishi Kedusha than normal. It's not serving any function.
It doesn't protect the batim, you mean? I mean, it's tuffle to the batim. It's tuffle to the batim, yeah. In a certain sense, it protects the partials, because you wrap around. You don't just leave it loose. We usually wrap around the ritzus, around the batim. So the ritzus protect the parshias that are inside the batim. In a certain sense, it's a tashmishik dusha. But Tosfos is bothered with the kasha. Why don't you consider the ritzus gufik dusha? Because you have the letters, the dalet and the yud on it. So they say, you see from the Gemara that they're not oisias. So Tosfos proves from that the dalet and yud is only with the rabbanim. Kesher shal tefillin alach moshe mesina, that there should be a kesher. The specific shape that it should have is only midrabbanan. And Rashi and the Rambam hold that the shape is their eyes, so they hold it's a kesher b'tzuras. It should look like a dalet, it should look like a yud, but in reality, it's not really an ois of Torah. It's not a dalet, it's not a yud. The shin is an ois, and the dalet and the yud are not oisias. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has in his sefer on the Rambam, he explains that Ritzuas is both Tashmishi Kedusha and Gufi Kedusha. It's Gufi Kedusha in the sense that Tefillin consists of three parts. You need Parshias, Batim, and Ritzuas. And if you don't have the Ritzuas, then it's not called the pair of Tefillin. So in a certain sense, it's Gufi Kedusha. In another sense, it's a Tashmishi Kedusha, but Torah, it covers the Parshias. The Parshias are inside the Batim. So Mitzad Kedushas Tefillin, the Ritzuas with the Batim, with the Parshias, are all Gufi Kedusha. But Mitzad, ignoring Tefillin, just the Parshias alone, so the Batim and the Ritzuas are a Tashmishi Kedusha. What do you gain by saying it's a Tashmishi? If it's a Gufi Kedusha, it's higher than a Tashmishi Kedusha. So one gains, there's a Balamor in Sukkah, the rest of the Yeshiva is learning Sukkah. So there's a Balamor in Sukkah and Daf Tes, but the Balamor has a tongue twister. He gives you his shita, and nobody understands what in the world he's talking about. Chazanish says it doesn't make any sense. He contradicts himself, and they have her oris from Ramotra Benet. He was the chief rabbi of Hungary when Chassam Sofer was the rabbi in Pressburg. He was the chief rabbi over him. He was older than the Chassam Sofer. So he has her oris on the Mortra. His name is Ramotra Benet, and he wrote her oris on the Mortra. So Mordechai Benet asked his kasha that the Chazanish asked, the Balamor there doesn't read straight. So if you want to make sense out of the Balamor, what he said is the following. Balamor seems to be assuming that there's a machloikis abai v'rovim in Sanhedrin around Daf Mem Zayna. So with the Hazmana Milsi, Hazmana Lab Milsi. Let's say someone died and I have a pair of tachrichim. I didn't put it on the mace yet. So the din is not only the mace, is also Balamor. The Misham Shameis are also Osabano. The Tachrich Ma are also Osabano. Whatever you plan to bury with the mace is Osabano. So that's a Machlek Zabai Barovah. When does it become Misham Shameis? When you actually put it on the mace and it's not Bepoel Mamish, it's Mishamish the mace? Or when you're designated to put it on the mace? If the person is still alive, then the Gemara says, and he buys Tachrichim to be used after he dies, so that everybody agrees that that's not called Hazmana Milsi. The Tachrich Manat Osimano is still alive. While a guy buys a Tefillin Zekel, and he didn't buy a pair of Tefillin yet. He doesn't have a pair of Tefillin yet, just buys a Tefillin Zekel. So the Pashto says that that's not called, the Tefillin Zekel is Mesham Shei Kedusha. It protects the Batim. But that's only by Medvar Mem, if you have Batim already. If you don't have a pair of Tefillin yet, you're going to buy a pair of Tefillin, and you buy the Tefillin Zekel before you buy the pair of Tefillin. So we paskin hazman alav milsi. It only is considered mishamshe tashmishe kedusha or tashmisha meis when it's actually mishamish the meis, when you put the tefillin in the tefillin zekel. But even according to the other opinion that hazmana is milsahi, that's only if I already have a pair of tefillin and I buy tefillin zekel, even I didn't put the tefillin in the tefillin zekel, I designated this bag for the purpose I designated kavua. I'd say one day I don't have my tefillin zekel, I put the tefillin in my pocket. So the pocket doesn't become tashmisha kedusha. You only put it in temporarily. I didn't intend to leave it there permanently. It was once by a bris. And then they started serving the meal. So they had no place in my talis and tefillin zekel or somewhere else. So I had no place to put my tefillin. I had to put it in my pocket. So the pockets don't become tashmisha kedusha because I once put it in the tefillin. Only if you designate it permanently. You're going to use it exclusively for that purpose. So that's a machlekes Abai v'Rav. When does it become tashmisha kedusha? When you designate the zekel for the tefillin, when you designate this as tachrichim for the mace, or when you actually put it on the mace, you actually put the sefer Torah in the mace, you put the mentala on the sefer Torah. So the Balamor seems to hold that the only time there's a machlokes Abai v'Rav is by tashmisha hameis, mishamsha hameis, and tashmisha kedusha. But by the gufei kedusha, let's say I have a piece of parchment, and I designate it, I'm going to use this to write tefillin on it. So I didn't write the tefillin yet. It's like a person didn't die yet. So if everybody's ultimately going to die, the Rebbeinu Shlom declared every human being is going to die. We're all going to die. But no one holds that I'm Osa Banor because I'm going to die. Even if I'm a Goisis, I'm going to die imminently. I'm only Osa Banor after I die. Aymed Lomos, it doesn't mean anything. Everybody's Aymed Lomos. So the Balamor, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote Rav Acher, one of the people from the days of the early Rishonim, maybe from the Goyim. It's not Rav Achoy Goyim. The Milkei Yosef in Sanhedrin, and that Gemara quotes a Rav Acher, who says that by the Gufei Kedusha, everybody holds that Hazmana Milsei. If you have a piece of parchment, you designate it to use it to write tefillin on, so all the Shittas would agree that is Hazmana Milsei. So many disagree. They hold just the reverse. And it's explained. So the Balamor and Sukkah Daftes, he holds just the reverse. By Gufik Dusha, nobody holds Hazmana Milsi. It's only Shaykh to have a machlokes by Tashmishe Kedusha or Shamshe Hameis. On the Gufik Dusha, because Mana doesn't have anything written on it, so it's not the Gufik Dusha. On a Tefillin Zekel, that Shaykh to say, I didn't put the Tefillin in a Tefillin Zekel, I didn't put the Sefer Torah in the Mentala yet, but I plan to put it in. So the designating it as a mishamish for the dovet to a tashmish for the sefer Torah, already gives it the status of tashmishi kedusha. So that's the Balamor has like that. Balamor explains the ritzuas like Rab Chaim says, the ritzuas agufi kedusha. If you're judging mitam mitzvahs tefillin, because there are three parts that are la'akev by the tefillin. You need parshias and you need batim and you need ritzuas. So it's Gufi Kedusha. But mitam, the fact that it's Gufi Kedusha, no one would ever say Hazmana Milsi. There would never be a Machlokes HaTanaim. But in addition to being a Gufi Kedusha, B'Toras Kedusha's Tefillin, it's a Tashmishe Kedusha, it's Mishamesh, the Parshias. The Parshias have Kedusha's Sefer Torah, Kedusha's Parshias Divrei Torah. So the Batim and the Ritzuas, which are used to cover over, they come in conjunction with the Parshias. So the Batim and the Ritzuas, in addition to having a status of Gufi Kedusha B'Toras Kedusha's Tefillin, have a status of Tashmishi Kedusha B'Toras Parshias from the Torah. And you gain something by adding that one. Well, what do you mean you gain? It's less. No, you gain, so Shaykh, there's an opinion that Hazmana Milsi. In the Gufi Kedusha, nobody would say Hazmana Milsi. That's what the Balamor writes over there.
You have something that covers the Batim. I don't know if it was always like that. So does that still apply? Because now there are two.
Could be that today it doesn't protect the. Could be, because we have a cardboard or plastic cover on top of the mountain. It could be that the Ritzus no longer have that status. That's possible. I don't know. Anyway, these are the Gemaras that the Tosfos quoted to disagree with Rashi. That's the famous Machlokes. Fine, so the Gemara says, just like we have Dalet Parshas, so Rebbeinu Shlomo Mos has Dalet Parshas. The Mara HaNevuah, the Chazon that Moshe Rabbeinu had, so he visualizes the Rebbeinu Shlomo davening, like a Shliach Tzibur, saying, Yud Yimul Midas, that's one Mara HaNevuah they had. Then he has another Mara HaNevuah that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is wearing tefillin. Okay. what's the significance of saying this, that Moshe Rabbeinu had a Mara HaNevuah, that the Rebbe Shlomo was wearing tefillin. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that we have a pasuk V'alachta b'drochav, that's right before V'rola kolam heret k'shem Hashem nikra alecha. V'alachta b'drochav, in order to preserve the Tzelem Elokim, that we were all created, the Tzelem Elokim, so we have to go in the ways of Hashem. So the Gemara singles out certain mitzvahs, not all the mitzvahs are done for the purpose of V'alachta b'drochav. The Pasha B'shad V'alachta b'drochav, you should go in the ways of God, do all the mitzvahs. That's the Pasha B'shad. But the Gemara has in the end of the first perek in Soita, the Gemara says, V'alachta b'drochav, mahu chanan, hafato chanan, mahu racham, hafato racham, and so on. So we should, that means for the purpose of preserving the Tzel Malakim that we were born with, so we should perform certain mitzvahs and we should act in a certain way. Mahu chanan, mahu racham, and so on. So the Gemara says, Menayin shakarish boch, menich tefillin, so that teaches us the purpose of this Mara HaNevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu had, that God was wearing tefillin, is that when we wear tefillin, it's a fulfillment of Mahu Afato. That's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Alachta B'drochav. When we observe Shabbos, that's also, we have to observe Shabbos, but in addition to being a mitzvah Shabbos, it's a chelik of the mitzvah of Alachta B'drochav. Because the Torah says that God created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. So when we observe Shabbos, we are observing that we are fulfilling the mitzvah. In addition to observing the mitzvah of Shabbos, we are fulfilling the mitzvah of Alachta B'drochav, going the ways of Hashem. It says we should observe Shabbos, Kisheshi Yamas Hashem Shmaimas Oretz, Mamashvi Shabbos Vayin Ofash. Our observance of Shabbos is, in addition to observing the mitzvah of Shabbos, it's a chelik of the mitzvah of Alachta B'drochav. The Gemara has certain different things that are good. The Gemara says, Ban Shalom Davins. What do you mean? Ban Shalom Davins doesn't make sense. It means when we daven, that enhances our Tzelem Elokim. That's part of the mitzvah of Alachta B'drochav. Don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. That was Rav Soloveitchik's suggestion. He didn't give enough kamina. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. What does the Gemara have at the top of Vav on the base we saw yesterday? Kol Rogalova, the base Aknesses. If it's Rogalova, so then Minik Tov is Banyan Mitam Neder Mid Rabbanon. That's the Gemara in the Dorim, Dav Tezvav. Om Rav Yechon, the next member, about 10 lines down from the top. B'shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bola Beis HaKnes, V'lai Mot Zosham Asara. There's no minyan. Miyad Hu Koi, Shenema, Madoa Basi V'ein Ish. There's nobody here. Karasi V'ein Oina. What do you mean, Karasi V'ein Oina? Rashi says, there's no minyan to answer Adov Shebikdusha. There's no minyan to answer Adov Shebikdusha. Einoine, there's no shir, there's no asara, shiuch lalana is dovish abigdusha. The dovish abigdusha always have amira ba'aniya. The chazan says, we call ourselves zevi amah. The tzibet says, kadosh, kadosh. The chazan says, lo masam baruch yameru. They say back and forth. So that's aniya ba'amira. So Rabban Shalom says, karasib einoine, there's no minion to answer a dovish abigdusha. So he's upset. Means there's no minion on time. Whenever you come, whoever's the first one there, so there are 1, 2, 3, there's 10 people. So what do you mean, is the minyan mean? If the minyan is supposed to begin at 7:45, and there's no 10 people there at 7:45, then the Rebbe Shlomo is koyis. The minyan is not going to come by Vasachas, so it's going to come by the time this Zman HaTfila comes, the minyan should be there. I remember there was a Chassidish Rebbe. He was known as the Faltajana. He came from the city Faltajana, Romania. He was a very good speaker in Yiddish. So it used to be whenever the Satmar Rebbe used to have Havganot, demonstrations from the United Nations about the Tuchei Mesim and everything, he was always one of the main speakers. Because he was such a good speaker. He learned in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin by the Kozhek Lover, by the one whose picture appears on 5A in the library. And he used to tell over that he was there when Rabbi Meir Shapiro told the Talmidim from the Yeshiva they should come to the Knesset Agdal, the one who's going to make the announcement of the Daf Yomi. He told a lot of stories about the Daf Yomi. So he said he had a Chassidish minyan in Bensonhurst. So he said when he first started his minyan, he made up with the Balabatim, whatever time they want to daven on Shabbos is okay with me. They want to daven 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. he can justify any time. But he said, whatever time they say, he wants them to be there on time. He doesn't want people to come late. That's a bizayon. You mevaza the tefillas if you come late. If you want it to be 10 o'clock, let it be. So come 5 minutes before 10 and put on your talis and start davening at 10 o'clock. You have to be there on time. So that's what the Gemara says. Whatever the zman atfei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and the zman, and there's no minyan, miyad hu koyis. How come karasev einoinu? There's not enough people. There's no shir to say the Avishu B'Kedusha. Then the Gemara speaks about Amrav Chalv, Amrav Huna, Kol HaKaveh Amokam L'Tfilot, Selekei Avram Yezru, the significance of always davening in the same location. You should be kaveh amokam letfilos. Rabbi Yoina raises the possibility that maybe this is only if you're davening at home. If you daven in shul, so the whole shul is the mokam letfilos. You have to daven in the same place all the time. It goes when you daven mi'chidus, when you don't have a minion, so then instead of sometimes davening in the bedroom, sometimes davening in the dining room, sometimes davening in the living room, you should always daven in the same spot. So that'll be mechaven your tefillah. But it's usually assumed not. So it's usually some akaveh mokam letfilose, even applies in the Beis HaKnesses. Not like the Rabbeinu Yoina. You have a mokam kavua. Let's say someone's sitting in your seat, so the post can say, as long as you're going to sit toch dal aram, so where your seat is supposed to be, that's also called kvias mokam letfilose. It doesn't have to be davke the same seat. That's what you let's say an ovil, has to have shine mokam. An ovil is not supposed to, the first week he davens at home, he doesn't go, he's not, eino yotzei mipesach beiso. Then the next couple of weeks, the Gemara says, when he finally comes to shul, he needs shine mokam. The minig is that they do shine mokam the whole Yud Beis Chodesh. Medina the Gemara, you don't need shine mokam all Yud Beis Chodesh. I love it, Valima, but that's the minig is like that. So the shaila is, do you really have to move Dal HaRamos away from the location where you always used to daven? So I think the Maram Shik has a tshuva. He says, no. It's called Kaveh Amakam Letfilosa. If someone is sitting in my seat, as long as I'll sit within Dal HaRamos, where I usually sit, that's called Kaveh Amakam Letfilosa. But the Oval should be Mishana Mekoma, you need Shina Makam, even if it's less than Dal HaRamos. Everybody knows. The idea of Shina Makam is that the Oval demonstrates as if he's disoriented, as if he can't get back into the normal swing of things. He can't even sit in his own seat. So that's enough if he's Yodua. He always sits in this seat. And today he sits one seat away, to the right, to the left, further back or something. So that's also good enough. Shina Makam doesn't have to be Dal HaRamos away. But Kaviyas Makam Letfilos is enough if it's within Dal HaRamos. So the Gemara says, the Chashiv is, how do you know there's such an inyan of Kaviyas Makam Letfilos? It says, Vayashim Avram Ba'Baiker, El HaMakam Shamat Sham, Ein Amida El Tfilah. You see that Avram Avinu, he wasn't in a shul. He was davening Al Pnei HaSodeh. So you see that Avram Avinu was makbid to be Kaviyas Makam Letfilos. When the person dies, they'll say the Hespid, Hey Onav, Hey Chassid, Tamidu Shal Avram Avinu. What do you mean Avram Avinu? So they quote the Pasuk by Avram Avinu. Why do you say Hey Onav Hey Chassid? What's the Anova? So the Tzlach has a famous piece over here. The Tzlach says if a person is arrogant, so he thinks I'm such a holy tzaddik, I deserve my prayer should be answered. Wherever I'm going to pray, it'll be accepted. If a person is a little humble, so he may realize maybe he doesn't deserve. Maybe his prayers are not so gewaldig. Maybe he doesn't really deserve. But if he daven's always in the same place, so then you want your prayer that you're offering today to be mitzdarif with the other 1,000 prayers that you daven in the same seat. So with humility you say, that's why when he dies you say, Hey Chosid, Hey Onov, Tamir Shavam Avinu, it's an indication of humility. He's afraid maybe he's not worthy that his prayer should be answered. So that's why he wants to daven in the Kaviyas Mokam in the same place. So today's tefillah should be this Kabbal B'tzir for all the other tefillahs. Well, let's say you have a location where tzaddikim is to daven for Dairi Dairis, a shul where tzaddikim is to daven for Dairi Dairis. Where I daven in the summertime, Rabbi Shimon Shkop used to daven there, Rabbi Chana Basim used to daven there, big tzaddikim in the 1930s, 1920s, 1940s, big rabbanim used to daven there. So that's, and a lot of people have breakaway minyanim, they don't want to sell. It's better if you daven in a location, so your tefillahs can be mitztarif with all the other tefillahs of all the tzaddikim. So that's a famous comment that the Tzlach has. That's why you say, Hey, Omar. In the back of the Gemara, they have the Ha'aris of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chayis. So he says, look in the tzlach. He doesn't tell you what he said, but that's what he says. He doesn't think that that's what it means. He says, he thinks, he quotes different sources from the Midrashim. He thinks that that was the standard nusach, the way they began a hesped for a big tzaddik. Hey chosid, hey onof. And he quotes psukim from Tanakh, that there were certain standard lines that you would always begin a hesped with that line. So he thinks you don't have to explain over here what is the kviyas makom l'tfilosa. The tzlach had to discover an inyan why kviyas makom l'tfilosa is an indication of humility. He thinks you don't have to search for such a connection. This was the standard nusach that he said. When a tzaddik would die, he would say hey chosed hey onof. And then they would say whatever he was medaktik about. Okay, he gives other mishalim also, the way there was a standard psicha to a husband. So the Gemara quoted Rav Chelva Amar Rav Huna, so they quote another member, Amar Rav Chelva Amar Rav Huna, Viomar Rav Chelva Amar Rav Huna, another member. Yetzim Ibez HaKnesses, a guy's going to run out of shul, he shouldn't go psia gasa. He demonstrates that it was such a nuisance that he was locked up in the shul. He had a daven for so long, so he's running away. That's not derech eretz. He's mevaza the tefillah. So the Gemara says that's only when he's leaving. When you leave the shul, you shouldn't run away. But when you go to shul, then you should run, even on Shabbos. It's a minyan to run. Even though the Novi Yishai says, how does the Pasuk say? Rabbi Yishai says, you shouldn't walk on Shabbos, same day you walk on Chol, same way you walk on Chol. So the Gemara says, you shouldn't go Psiyagasa. The Gemara on the end of Shabbos. Even they're not allowed to take Psiyagasa on Shabbos, but for the purpose of running to Minyan, let's say he's running late, it's late for the Minyan, late for the Shia, so that's permissible to run. And one of the Amorim says, Originally, on the first line after the narrow lines, says, originally, when I would see Talmidim, Rabban means the Talmidim from the Yeshiv, the Karate, the Pirka, the Shabbat, they would run to Shir on Shabbos, I would say the Mechal Shabbos, because there's a din Shaloi, hey, he luchel shal Shabbos, he luchel shalchot, you're not allowed to dress the same, everything on Shabbos is supposed to be different. Not allowed to walk the same way, you shouldn't go psi agasa. But then when he heard this member that to run to shul is a mitzvah, so that's fine. But then you're allowed to run even on Shabbos. Then the Gemara has a comment. Agra de Pirka Rohato. They have a few svarim by Rabbi Shmuel Adinov, and one is known as Bnei Yisoscha. I think one of them is called Agra de Kala, one is called Agra de Pirka. Okay, that's where the title comes. But what's Agra de Pirka? Pirka is a public shiur. Agra means the reward. The main reward that someone gets for attending a shir is rata. You get reward for running to the shir, because he's probably going to forget the shir. He's probably not going to remember. So he doesn't get schar for the learning, he gets schar for straightening himself, running to the shir. Agra de kala duchka. Kala used to be before Pesach and before Sukkot, they had public shirim, so everybody would crowd in into the Beis Medrash. So the main reward that you get really is that you're suffering for the duchka, that everybody's kvetched together. So you deserve reward for that. You don't really deserve reward for learning because you probably didn't understand so much this year. The Rabban used to give the big pilpul on Shabbos HaGadol, and he probably is going to forget it all. So the main reward he gets is really for suffering the dukkah. Everybody's squeezed in together. Agra d'shmaitza svara. If the Rebbe gives a whole pilpul and it's complicated, the Talmidim are probably going to forget it. But their mind will develop and know how to say such a svar on their own the next time they get to such a gemara. Okay. So the main reward you get for hearing a shmaitza is that you develop the svar. Each one is like that. Agra de taneisa tzidkasa. The main reward that you get for fasting on a taneis is that you give tzedakah. You don't get so much reward for fasting. A big deal. We eat so much all year long. We can fast every Monday and Thursday. And it won't affect us. Americans are all obese. We're all overweight. So the main reward that you get for fasting on a tannis is tzidkas. So you give money to tzedakah. That's one of the main things on a tannis. Mishnah says especially, at least you should give that amount of money to tzedakah that you save by not having breakfast and lunch. You should at least give that much amount of money to tzedakah. You should give more. Agud hespeda deluya, the main reward that a person gets for delivering a hesped is when he cries about the fact that the person died. Agud behiluda, the main reward that you get for attending a wedding or a wedding suda, is merely the words that you say, encouraging words to the chasam. Tell him how good looking the kala is and how beautiful the simcha is and so on. Okay, Omar Abhunev. They quoted so many things about Omar Abhunev. Call him a spala churi beis haknesses nikra rasha. Shenem asavi rishayim yisalach. What's a churi beis haknesses? What is this all about? So the rishayim all point out. The rabbi Yoni points out the other rishayim. The Tosfos on Amud Aleph has a machlokes with Rashi. Rashi learns one way, and Tosfos learns completely different from Rashi. Rashi seems to hold. Here's the Rashi on the top of the second column. So first of all, Rashi quotes a Tosefta Megillah. This is important. That when you build a shul, it's supposed to be parallel to the Beis HaMikdash. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the entrance is in the eastern side, and then you face the west. You go straight ahead to the Kodesh HaKodashim, who's in the west. So a shul, like downstairs, when they built the Beis Medrash, so the entrance should have been at the other end. They had no choice. They couldn't do it. A lot of shuls like that. They have no choice. But more correct is like the Schattenstein shul over here down the block, the Moshe Soloveitchik school. So the Knesset to the shul is facing the Aron Kodesh. That's where it's supposed to be. If you can't, you can't. That's what Rashi quotes on the Tosefta. The opening to the shul, the Lincoln Square Synagogue, I remember, also used to have the opening. It was always on the side. It was originally built as a bank. So then they converted it to a shul. Which? I mean, it faces the wrong direction. That's another thing. Okay. Okay. The old Beis Medrash also. The entrance is on the side, and the Aron Kodesh is over there. So really, I think years ago, the entrance used to be on the side, on the hallways, and the Aron Kodesh used to be in the other direction, which was west. We in America are supposed to face Eretz Yisrael, we're supposed to face east. So you face east, you're going to be facing the entrance. Like over here, the Beis Medrash downstairs. When everybody faces ahead, so someone walks into the shul, he's walking in, everybody's facing him when they're davening Shemoneh Esrei. So that's not right. The entrance is supposed to be L'chuvin Keneged the Hechol, the Yeron Kodesh. Okay, so that's where Rashi quotes from the Tosefta. Now, which direction should you daven? So that's where Tosfos on Amud Aleph quotes the pasuk from Melachim Aleph. Vispalo alecha derech arzo. That's the Gemara later in Perik Enam Nem Nispal. The Gemara quotes the pasukim from Shlomo HaMelech that ki beisa beis tvili kari ochol ha'amim. That's not in Tvila Shlomo HaMelech. That's in Yishaya, I think. That the more correct is that person should go daven in the Beis HaMikdash. If he doesn't have the ability to daven in the Beis HaMikdash, so he should, if he's in Yerushalayim, he should daven facing the Beis HaMikdash. If he's chutz Yerushalayim, he should daven espalo alecha derech ha'ir azos. And if he's chutz l'Eretz Yisrael, he should daven espalo alecha derech ha'artzom. He should face Eretz Yisrael. So the Balei HaTos has lived in France and Germany. So they say France and Germany is to the west of Eretz Yisrael. So you should daven facing the east. You should daven facing the east. So whatever, so more correct would be to make a Beis HaKnesses, to build a Beis HaKnesses with the entrance over here facing the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh should be in the direction where everyone's going to daven. They should face the Aron Kodesh when they're davening. The Aron Kodesh should be in the direction where Eretz Yisrael is. What if the Aron Kodesh is in the wrong direction? So then Tosfos holds that Tosfos seems to hold, you ignore the Aron Kodesh and you have to face Eretz Yisrael. You have to face Eretz Yisrael. So that's the... that's the problem here downstairs. The Aron Kodesh is at this southeast. If you want to face east, you have to tilt a little bit to the left. And the old Beis Medrash, the Aron Kodesh is facing, which way is that? North? North. Every 50 years, they used to change the Aron Kodesh and the old Beis Medrash. They never faced the right direction. Never faced the right direction. That's why Moshe Soloveitchik never wanted to daven over there. He always used to down. He lived near the bridge. He lived there when the bridge was put up. So he went to the George Washington Bridge, going over to New Jersey, when the bridge was put up. So he always used to daven in a different shul that faced Mizrach, because this shul over here. Then after many years, they asked him, why doesn't he daven in the Beis Medrash? He didn't want to be Mevaza. The other rabbanim did daven in the Beis Medrash. He gave him a teretz. He's so used to daven in Nusach Harei, he can't daven in the... He was there for a while. He was a rabbi in a Chabad community in Europe. So he davened Nusach Harei. So they said, okay, we'll make you a Nusach Harei minyan. So that was the origin of the 101 minyan. The 101 minyan always faced Mizrach. Always faced Mizrach. And that was, they made that minyan to satisfy Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, because he said he can't daven Beis Medrash because they don't daven Nusach Harei. So they made him a Nusach Harei and made him a Nusach Sfarad minyan. I don't know if it's Nusach Harei, but it's Nusach Sfarad minyan. That was the historical background. So Tosis' opinion is that you're supposed to face Eretz Yisrael when you daven. More correct would be the Aron Kodesh should be opposite the Knesset of the Beis HaKnesset, and the Aron Kodesh should be in that direction where you're going to face Eretz Yisrael. But if the Aron Kodesh is in the wrong direction, she just ignore it. You face Eretz Yisrael. And the Rashi holds not so. Rashi holds on Amud Beis, Achidush, that once you have the Aron Kodesh, preferably the Aron Kodesh should be in the same direction where you're facing Eretz Yisrael. If you live in Chutzlos, you face Eretz Yisrael. But if it's in the wrong direction, then you should face the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh is considered as if the Shechina is there, and you should face the Aron Kodesh. So let's say you have a Beis HaKnesses, and the Aron Kodesh is over here, and it's the wrong direction. Doesn't matter. Everybody should face the Aron Kodesh. Well, someone is outside, and he's davening Shema Nesri. So it's not right. You should daven outside. You should come inside and daven with everybody else. So that's not right. But let's say they're up to Shema Nesri. He's going to come in to the Beis HaKnesses until he walks in. The entrance is over here. He's going to walk around. He's going to miss the whole Tefillah Balachash. So he wants to daven outside. So which direction should he face? So Rashi says he should face the Aron Kodesh. Everybody's facing the Aron Kodesh like this. He should face the opposite direction. Because they should all be facing the Aron Kodesh. So Tosis says, what is he, crazy? They're facing opposite directions. Looks like it's they believe in a different religion. The whole tzibur in the shul is facing one direction. He's facing the opposite direction. So Rashi holds that it's not a taina. They're all facing the Aron Kodesh. We assume as if we visualize it as if the Shechina is in the Aron Kodesh. And Tosis holds punkt verkehrt. The old tzibur is facing Eretz Yisrael. He should daven outside facing Eretz Yisrael. So Shulchan Aruch says, in order to avoid this machlokes between Tosfos and Rashi, you should never daven in front of the shul. According to Rashi, you have to face the opposite direction from everybody in the shul, face the Aron Kodesh. According to Tosfos, you face the same direction the people in the shul are facing. So don't daven in the shul. Don't daven in front of the shul. Daven on the side. Daven on the side, so you face the same direction as everybody. Come into the shul. Come on time. Come into the shul before the Zman and get a good seat. Sure. So that's the big machlokes. That's the tshuva. The Nitziv has a tshuva. The Mishnah Berurah talks about this. What do you do if the Aron Kodesh is in the wrong direction? Where should you face? So he talks about it in two different places, a little bit of a steer. So that's what the Nitziv writes in his tshuva. It's in the Meshav Torah. It's a machlokes. Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds if they put the Aron Kodesh in the wrong direction, the din is everybody should face the Aron Kodesh. And Tosfos says, no, you ignore where the Aron Kodesh is. You face Eretz Yisrael. Why? I think they assume we should paskan like Tosfos. Rashi is very surprising over here. The Gemara tells the story. Yo, Anavi dressed up like a hutaya, like an Arab merchant. And he saw a person davening in the incorrect direction, according to Rashi one direction, according to Tosfos the opposite direction. So he said, you're davening in such a way as if you believe in a different God from the people in the shul. So he killed him. Wow. So make sure, make sure that you're davening in the right direction, correct direction. Remember, there used to be a fellow in Paramus who used to be he was a chaplain in the American army, maybe in some war, I forgot his name, right? He was a musmach of the yeshiva. So he said he was stationed in Casablanca. He said in Casablanca there's a shul where the Aron Kodesh is over here, and then when it comes time for Shema Nesri, everybody turns to the right and they face the doors because that's the direction facing Eretz Yisrael. So when I was touring in Morocco a couple of years ago, so I asked, we were inside a shul, and I asked the tour guide, where is this shul? He said, this is the shul. I wasn't there when they were davening, but he said, this is the shul. So when it comes to Shemoneh Esrei, everybody turns to the side. Because the direction where the Aron Kodesh is not the Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is to the east of Morocco.
So the difference is you turn your back to the Aron Kodesh or your side? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a bigger bush if you turn your back. Okay. Yeah. Okay, maybe we will stop here. Good. Tomorrow, try to learn another Blat Gemara.
What about facing in one direction and turning your head in the other direction? Would that be a way to be kind of
a little bit.